Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Dave. The other guy is Scott. I'm never sure where the hell he's at.
I'm always below.
Anyway,
don't say it.
Welcome to Old Ass Movie Reviews. Today we are reviewing Revenge of the Zombies with Manton Moreland, which is the only reason I wanted to watch this movie. I'm a huge Manton Moreland fan. I thought that it was a direct sequel to the other zombie movie,
No.
King of the Zombies, but it is.
It looked like it could have been, but
it should have. It probably should have been. It was not. I'm not even sure if the two guys that were in it were supposed to be the same guys that he was with in the other zombie one. I don't think they were, because Dick Purcell was one of the guys in the other movie, but he wasn't in this movie. John Carradine, however, was.
Yeah.
Which I was really shocked by. And this is 1943, I believe.
Right.
I'm going to go through real quick the names of most of the cast. So you had John Carradine as Dr. Max Heinrich von Alftenschnicker. I don't know if that was his real last name. Gail Storm as Jennifer Rand. Robert Lowry, who was in a lot of bit parts back in those days, as Larry Adams. Bob Steele played the sheriff, who wasn't really the sheriff, who was an enemy agent. But really wasn't an enemy agent. He was double-crossing everybody, and then you find out who he really is, and you're like, oh, okay, I guess that works. And then we had,
thank God,
Manton Moreland, because he was, to me, he was really the highlight of this. Veda Ann Borg was Lily von Alterman, and she was the queen. She turns out to be queen of the zombies, basically, is what happens. Moritz Hugo was Scott Warrington. Madame Sol Taewon was Mammy Beulah. Now, this actress's name was Madame Sol Taewon. That was the black lady. That was her name.
She went by Madame.
That was her real name. And I'm like, why didn't you just use her real name? Because that name was a lot more badass than the name you gave her as a character.
I know. It was, yeah.
And when your name is Madame Sol Taewon, I'm going to take a wild guess and say you know a little bit about voodoo. Total speculation on my part, reading her name. She may have been telling them, hey, no, that's not how the zombie would work. It would work kind of like this. It would kind of work like that. You guys are, you know, something tells me she was correcting them a lot along the way. And James Baskett as Lazarus. I think that was the main guy with the kind of the white. Yeah.
He was kind of the lead zombie there.
Right up until Veda Ann Borg shows up.
Yeah.
And starts taking control. Because I kind of turned you on to Manton Moreland. What did you think about this?
So I feel Manton was done dirty in this movie. I really do.
Yeah.
We got two movies here. Well, the movie I want to see was Manton Moreland moved off to the servants. We could have all of that going, but that becomes the B story. The A story is Manton, Rosella, and Madam What's-Her-Name going through this. They're the ones with the chemistry. We get to the other part of the movie. It's silly. It doesn't work. There's a lot of hand of God moments that just tie the story back together. And it's like, what'd you do? Write this in over lunch and just get everybody together? I mean, Manton is funny. Now, this is what I got to say. I love Manton, but his delivery is so great. And there's one scene where he's like, I got to go home. I forgot something. And it's like, what'd you forget at home? He's like, to stay there, you know? Or they're like, maybe you're seeing things. And he's like, I am seeing things I don't want to see.
He has the best
lines. And the reason I say he's done dirty, he's barely in it. This is a 1-hour movie. Thankfully, it's just a 1-hour movie. there's some good stuff here. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to dog it a little bit, but I couldn't help but watch this and think of Lovecraft's Reanimator. I got more of a Reanimator vibe from this than a zombie thing, which, you know what? Lovecraft wrote this probably before, Reanimator before this. So, I wanted more Manton. Right. If you're a fan of Manton, I think you should watch it, but I don't think there's a lot here. It's almost the same setups as the movie we watched before. Mm-hmm. He gets off with the staff. There's the Manton always finds the pretty woman. And of course he's all googly eyes, you know, we'll get married. I'm already talking marriage. I love this guy. He's so funny.
I'm gonna get you a job and get you a place. And she goes, if I get a place and get a job, I don't need to get married. And he just looks at her like, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's not a great movie. It's not a great movie, but I've seen worse.
Yeah, I do agree that this should have been, in my opinion, maybe 20 minutes longer and more Manton. Everything with Manton, like you said, Manton, the cute maid, and Madame Beulah works really well.
It does. It does.
Another part that worked really well is when, what's the character's name? Lilla von Alterman, which is Beta Ann Borg, the blonde.
Yeah.
When she finally just gets up and leaves, and the main bad guy, the main antagonist, John Carradine, is worried. He's trying to figure out, okay, what?
Let me mention something. This is the most gorgeous zombie I've ever seen.
Right.
And her smile, which she's dead, and she smiles multiple times, that you know she's in control. She's a good actor. And she just lights up the screen, and it's like, I see why she was there. So,
and I don't know much about this actress. She looks familiar, but I couldn't tell you if I've ever seen her in anything else. And I watched a lot of old movies over the years, and she looks really familiar, but I don't know whether she's been in, if she got to be a big name back in the day or not. What I liked was it was kind of a twist on most zombie movies of the day. And you don't see zombie movies like this where the dead person takes control, can get their mind back and takes control and goes on. She winds up taking control of all the other zombies. And
go ahead.
Scott and I, we spoil every movie.
Oh, yeah.
Started out the show like that.
This movie's almost 100 years old. It's okay.
Yeah, we
80 years.
Yeah, it's
about 80 years. Yeah,
yeah. There is a movie that's over 100 years old that I want us to watch, and
we will
talk about that in a minute. But when she takes control, Carradine's character is like, he thinks he's still in control until she calls all the zombies to go and get him, and he realizes, oh damn, you belong to me. And she's like, yeah, no, you can't hurt me. You can't kill me. You can't do this to me. And you can't stop me.
I love it. I love what she does. She reminds me.
Yeah. That ending for him.
That was good. It was good. I was getting a lot of, for some reason, I was thinking on The Bride of Frankenstein watching this somewhat. But I really go to Reanimator because that is also where you see a character take control of all the zombies and still have his mind, even though he didn't have his head. I'd carry his head around.
Oh,
but,
my God.
And that's, I kept getting such a Reanimator vibe watching this. And it's like, oh, this is interesting. But yeah, I don't know where I was saying. But
well, I like whatever
character it is different.
Away, he runs up the stairs towards the end of the movie. He's trying to run away from her and the zombies, and she just starts walking after him. That wherever they're at, she knows no matter what, she's going to find him. He can't outrun her. They don't get tired. So they're all going upstairs, and Lady Beulah, I think, yells to her, and she just turns around. That's when she turns around and just gives her a smile, like a half.
Oh, dude, it's great.
Mona.
I would have loved to have seen this restored. Unfortunately, I watched it on YouTube because I couldn't find it anywhere else.
Right. It's a little
and crazy. It was what I found, and there might be a better copy. This was really, really hard to see, really hard to hear. I would love to have seen this cleaned up a little bit better. But, you know, hey, it's the only place I could find it.
I would love to get the rights to all of Anthony Moreland's movies and clean them up. This guy, they've got a lot of... Folks, if you go see a Manton Moreland movie, if you watch one of them on YouTube, there's a lot of them on there. I recommend it. I highly recommend Manton Moreland. I forgot what company took this one out, but I think it was the same company that you and I were talking about at one point that we were surprised that Manton Moreland's name was bigger than his white co-stars.
And that was
the same company or not, but I had read recently that one of the companies that he worked for, did a lot of movies for, were very good to the black actors and actresses of the day. They made sure they got good billing. They made sure they got paid well. They took care of them. They tried to get them to where they could probably pay their bills. For lack of a better term, they didn't do the Chitlin circuit routine where, you know, you work for me, but when are you going to pay? At the end of the day.
Yeah.
Crap. They took care of him. They really liked Manton Moreland, this article that I was reading a few weeks ago. I forgot why I was looking them up. It's probably because we were going to do this movie. And I just came across, it was just one of those articles where they say, and this production house, you know, took care of him. They did a lot of black. Mm-hmm. With a lot of black actors, and a lot of, you know, Hollywood wasn't doing it back then. You know, they're reversing their move now, but they're still just as bad now as they were then, which explains all the problems that Hollywood's having today. And it's a real shame because those actors were really, really talented. The girls that they had in there were beautiful. And the Lady Beulah, the lady who plays Lady Beulah, I could have seen her in a bunch of parts. So I don't know how many movies that they all work together. That girl
probably a lot.
Familiar. I'm sure she's been in a couple of Charlie Chan movies with Manton, you know, along the way. But I thought it was really interesting that there was at least one company that was like, we don't care, we're going to make movies, and if you don't like them, don't come sing them. And they were a pretty good house, from what I understand, to work for everybody, not just blacks, but blacks specifically. Right.
So, and you know, there's so many actors back then, black actors, and just Manton Moreland's one of many who just kind of paved the way for anybody can be a superstar now. Now it's like, you know, no big deal. You get Denzel, and well, look at that. And look who came before him. And that's what I love seeing, is these actors really paid a price. I guarantee they weren't getting paid as well as everybody else. They probably had separate dressing rooms pushed to the back. There were, I guarantee, still, you know, just blatant racism right in their face day to day. But they got to do what they wanted, and they didn't let that get in the way of it. And so a lot of courage and strength there. I thought it's inspirational to me to see, you know, people push through that and pave this way, man.
And it's really sad to me that you hear a lot of actors and actresses and rap stars and people sit there and try and badmouth guys like this and people that were doing all the black exploitation movies and stuff back in the day, trying to make them sound like
they were crawling so you could walk.
they would call, you know, like an Uncle Tom or a step and fetch, and it's like, motherfucker, without them you wouldn't have a job. You know, that would be like me downgrading my grandparents, you know, from coming over from Slovakia and, you know, trying to badmouth them because they were chicken farmers and they had to run away for their lives. They didn't do that, I wouldn't be here.
Exactly.
You know, to me, that's
that. I know, it's a weird, weird mentality.
So whenever somebody starts badmouthing, I usually hit them with a little bit of history and they just look at me like I'm insane. I'm like, hey, you can argue with me, but you're going to be wrong. I do know a little bit of history. I don't know as much as a lot of people, but I know a little bit.
Well, this is one of the things that I've noticed as we delve into these really old movies. we're seeing women as equals. We're seeing black people elevated, not quite equal, maybe in some, but at least elevated more and given a little more prominence. So this is back in the 30s and 40s that we're seeing something that we're trying to get back to now. What the hell happened?
Yeah, and that just disappeared recently. That wasn't like this until recently. And I'm not going to start getting political. But
right, was, no, and we don't need to, but yeah.
His character, any movie I've watched him in, he's always, maybe like you said, not an exact equal, but a lot of characters aren't treated as equal. Like, if you go to the Three Stooges, you don't have equals in the Three Stooges. You have Moe, then you have Larry, and then you have Curly or Shemp or Curly Jip. You know, there is a hierarchy there. So that's where the humor comes from. That's where the humor for Manton comes from. If he was the absolute equal or the guy in charge,
right?
I don't know if he could be as funny because you
probably
have
not. It is. It is the situation that makes it funny because he is the chauffeur. Sure. And I will say he is the smartest one. Manton, in every movie I've seen him in, he's me. Yeah. That's who I'm watching the movie through because I'm the one who'd be freaking out over seeing dead people. The white guys, they're secret agents, which we find out later. And it's like, who wrote this shit? And then... Yeah. You know, what the hell? Oh, sure, great. Next thing you know, there's going to be a nuke. I mean, I'm surprised that wasn't there, Dr. Oppenheimer. But anyway, but it's because I relate to him because he's the one freaking out. He's the one who's scared. He's the one who's like, I ain't doing that. And it's like,
he's the one who's looking at the white guys going, we should get the hell out of here. Let's get out of here. And the white guys are like, no, we need to stick around.
And that is a horror movie trope that holds to this day. Dark, scary basement, white guy goes down. Black guy's not, So it's like
there was the one scene where they're at the door. They get to the basement. Everybody's going down to the basement to get to the doctor. And, they're all like, how are we going to get in? And Matt grabs an axe. And he's like, I've been waiting for this moment. And he just starts hacking that door. He's going through that door. I was like, good for you, Manton. He finally got fed up. He wants to get out of that damn city or area. And the only way to get out of that area is to stop the guy because he knows the guy that he's with won't leave until they stop him.
And every time he finds a body, they disappear. And he's, come see. And there's no body. And it is funny. It's just like, wow.
Well, the one joke with that actually paid off, but I wish it would have been a better joke payoff, was whenever you find out the one guy who's playing the sheriff, who was playing a secret agent for like some enemy.
He was a double agent.
Then you find out he's actually an American agent. You're like, okay, now wait a minute. And the one guy says, well, we just keep seeing these dead bodies. He goes, oh, yeah, that dead body in the car was, so-and-so. That's the guy that I had to kill. Oh, hold on. My old lady's calling me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
One of the things that I found really cool, though, is knowing the history of Manton with the Stooges and then watching this, there's so many opportunities where I see him as a Stooge. And I keep expecting a Stooge-like response from him. And it's like, wow, this is why Mo saw this in him. And it's like,
why Mo wanted him.
Yeah.
And he would have been perfect.
He would have been perfect. Like there's a universe out there where this happened, and I want to reincarnate into it. And that's all I'm saying.
I want to get those films from that universe. I want to watch
I want to see that.
With the Three Stooges. Not Curly Joe, not Curly Joe Besser, not the other guy that everybody hated, but he had a contract, so they put him in there with the Stooges. I forgot what the hell that guy's name was, little wanker. Man, Manton Morgan would have been perfect.
He would have been. He would have been.
And he would have played a perfect, third wheel with those guys. He'd have been just as good. I think he would have been just as good as Curly. I really do.
And the joke would have been he was a brother as well.
Of course, exactly. How funny would have that have been?
That would have been great. That would have been great. That would have been great. Missed Manson opportunities.
Manson Howard.
Oh, that would have been perfect. That would have been perfect. So funny. He would have fit right in. He had the sensibility. He had the great comedic timing. Very physical actor. I love the guy. I want more. So.
In some of the Charlie Chan movies, he does double speak. There will be another black actor that comes in, and they'll start talking, but neither one will ever finish a thought or a sentence. The other guy will finish the thought and sentence kind of for him, but it'll be an answer. Like, Mantha
right,
will be like,
I gotcha.
Hey, did you ever see any? And oh, I haven't seen him for 6 months.
He's
oh, really? Over by the, by the cabin. And they just go back and forth, and none of the, it's never a complete thought or a complete sentence, but you know that they each know what the other one's talking about, and they'll be like, well, I'll see you later. Yeah, okay. And they walk away, and it's like, that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wish they would do more of that in the movie we just watched, but it worked. Like you said, they didn't have enough him in it.
They didn't have enough him in it. They didn't. They had a comedic genius sitting right there that could have really pushed this movie, and they didn't. And this is almost a rehash of the last movie we watched. It had a lot of similarities. I enjoy watching him. I didn't enjoy this movie that much. I would probably watch it again if I can find it cleaned up. I'll watch it again because I'd really want to see it nice and crystal clear.
It was a really good twist ending though for me.
Oh, but I love the ending
for the time.
Yes. Oh, for, it was brutal, man. It's like, yes. Soul,
but then drag him down with her.
Got vengeance. Vengeance big time. Like, it's like,
brilliant. I mean, that was like creepy. I can't imagine people in the theater at the time.
Do you realize? I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was just going
to
say because back then that didn't happen. Those types of twists didn't really happen all that much.
Well, that's what I was going to say is at its core, this is a very feminine, positive movie about you will not control me. I have my own mind. I don't need you. And this is 1943.
Yeah.
Very nice.
But I don't think of, whereas watching a movie like this doesn't bother me. If they did a movie like this now, they would be hammering that.
Well, that's just it. That's what I'm saying. It was very
would be talking about it. All the woke actors would be, you know, the pretend feminist soy boys would be screaming about it, and the movie would tank at the box office, no matter how good it was. It would tank because they all opened their mouth instead of just saying, "Hey, we did a good zombie movie, and it's kind of funny. Go see it."
Yeah, and making that, because I made that decision on my own. Nobody had to hit me over the head with it. It's like, oh, nice allegory. Nice.
That's why it works.
That's why it always works. That's works. You don't have message.
Yes, exactly.
We know the message is there. It sinks in naturally and it becomes normal. But hey.
We were talking about was it White Chicks?
Yeah,
we were saying there was messages in there, but you're never really beat over the head.
It's
all done with humor.
They're there. Yeah, and that's what's
they're there.
I never saw it so much, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Godzilla Minus One had messages, but they weren't
of course it did.
Beating you over the head with them. And God, you know, I'm going to buy that thing when it comes out of Blu-ray.
I can't wait. I cannot
right
wait.
Right next to me because I know I'll cry again.
Yes.
And I didn't cry. Well done.
Oh, I did, but there was only one other guy in the theater, and I made sure he couldn't see me when I went to the matinee. But I almost asked him, bro, you crying over there? Because this is rough. I'm sorry. I will evangelize Godzilla Minus One till I die. It was a great movie. But back to the zombies. Check it out to check out some early cinema. Matt and Moreland is always a treat.
Yeah.
I say watch it.
There is, I say absolutely watch it. And what I want to talk about, I want to keep it private. We can talk about it here. There is a movie. I saw what they call a tracking shot.
It
was on Instagram and I sent it to you. And
yes.
The name of the movie is Wings. And it's from 1923. It's the first motion picture to win Best Picture for the first Oscars ever done. I want to see this movie. Just basically for that I one shot where they're tracking through the crowd. And it's amazing when you see this shot. And I started watching a few minutes of it. It is on YouTube. So if anybody's out there, I don't know when we're going to get to watch it. I don't know how long the movie is. Whenever Scott and I both sit down and say, yes, we're going to watch a silent movie.
It's coming.
It's hard to watch. But yeah, I want to do this just for the cinematography. That is amazing. The air show, not the air show, but the fighters, the double winged plane. They got cameras mounted on the plane. So when we talk about things like, Tom Cruise and learning to fly the jets. These guys were flying planes back then.
Yep.
In the 20s to get this.
Isn't it crazy? Anything for the picture. Oh, God. It's, I know. Well, it's not like there's a lot of bad things then. Yeah.
How are we going to get this shot? Just crash the plane. Okay.
Yeah. But that tracking shot, when I saw that, I was instantly taken to Goodfellas.
Yeah.
When they're coming through the club and it's just going, when he's taking her out to eat and it's like, Scorsese watched that. I know he did.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because that's exactly what it was like. Oh shit. Here's the Goodfellas scene, but the original.
And so. I was sitting there thinking about like how many people stole that tracking shot.
Oh, everybody. Of course they would. Why wouldn't you?
So. Yeah. And I want to see what else was taken from this movie. Yeah. Cause it's got, Not Clark Gable. Can't think of the actor's name. When you see him, you'll know him, and we'll talk about him. It's going to be one of his first early movies, and I never knew he did silent movies. I thought the guy only did talking, but I can't think of his name right now. When we watch the movie, we'll discuss him a little bit too. But this movie looks good. It looks like
it does.
And it does. We will definitely put it in. Old. And we are old ass movies.
It refers to us and the movies. But yeah, we're definitely got some silent movies coming up. But we talked about Metropolis and some others. So we'll try and get into some more vintage this year. I really want to take it older. We will still jump into the 80s because that's one of my favorite eras. But stick around with us. We both recommend Matt Moreland any way you can get him. But we'll have something else coming up for you next week. So please hit the like, hit the share, hit the subscribe, tell your friends, tell us whether you like us or hate us. Drop us a line. Appreciate it. And thanks for watching, listening, and we will catch you next week.
Cheers.